Welcome on into the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Well, things are all but done in the Nooshigak. We're still seeing some effort on the east side with Igigik posting yesterday's biggest catch. And as fishing is winding down, there is mounting focus on prices. It's Thursday, July 24th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, the season is winding down around the bay, but Togiak is still going strong with a run that's right on time this year. We talked to the general manager for Togiak Seafoods about this season's deciding factors.
It's coming in surges, and then it'll be lighter for a day, and then another surge hits, whereas last year it was pretty steady, straight on through for about three to four weeks.
And heads are turning towards prices this year. We talked to an economist about price fixing, lawsuits, and some of the outside factors that determine how much people get paid.
As a whole, Bristol Bay and Alaska don't have a ton of market power when it comes to world salmon prices and world salmon market.
All those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
As always, let's get some things started with the numbers today. Taking a look at the west side first, the Nooshigak has all but wrapped up for the season. Yesterday's catch of 12,000 was the smallest they've had since the first day of fishing this summer. The cumulative harvest on the Noosh is still around 14.7 million. The district's escapement yesterday was 28,000, which pushed the cumulative up to 2.96 million. Staying on the west side for a moment here, Togiak caught 33,000 fish yesterday, putting the cumulative at 673,000. Escapement in the district was 29,000 yesterday and 171,000 on the season. Stick around because we'll have more on Togiak later in tonight's show. Moving over to the east side now, Igigik had the biggest catch on that side of the bay, bringing in 83,000 and bumping the cumulative up to 14.7 million. There are no new escapement numbers coming from over there, so the season escapement stays flat at 2.3 million. Ugashik is still catching fish, but with a harvest of 41,000 yesterday, it looks like things are slowing down in what has been an exceptionally late run in that district. The season total is still just south of a million, right now adding up to 957,000. Ugashik saw 138,000 fish escape upriver yesterday, bringing the cumulative escapement to 1.4 million. And finally, in Bristol Bay, the Naknek Kwijak caught 38,000 fish yesterday and 11.4 million so far this summer. The day's escapement in the district was 19,500, and the cumulative escapement is 6.1 million. Adding all that up across the bay, yesterday's catch came out to 207,000 and bumped the season total harvest up to 42.5 million. Looking down the peninsula to Area M, the South Peninsula has caught 1.1 million sockeye and 10.7 million chum. On the north side, the total sockeye harvest is up to 1.8 million. The combined total from Area M is just shy of 3 million sockeye, a milestone it'll reach with just about 20,000 more fish. And we've also got the latest numbers from the Chignik Weir. They counted 9,688 reds yesterday, bringing the season total for sockeye up to 517,000. That'll do it for the numbers here today, but hang around, we'll be right back after this.
Support comes from the International Maritime Group. IMG is a law firm that provides Alaskan vessel owners and charterers with tailored legal services. IMG specializes in charter party agreements, crew contracts, shipyard agreements, and indemnity provisions. More about IMG at maritime.law.
We are back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Thursday evening. Togiak's run is right on time this year, a big difference from last summer's run, which came in extremely late. The cumulative harvest so far is over 670,000, and the total run is more than 843,500. Last year's harvest was just over 858,000. Togiak Seafoods is processing the hauls of about 65 fishermen this year, 75% set netters and 25% drifters. KDLG's Izzy Ross talked with Mike Gilbert, the general manager for Togiak Seafoods.
How have things been going this season over in Togiak? We've been talking a lot about, you know, large numbers in the Nooshigak District. How is Togiak shaping up?
It's looking pretty good. Good numbers of reds, more so reds than chums this year.
Was that not the case last year?
No, it was a good year last year, too. It's just kind of the ratios, more reds to chums.
Got it. I know you guys also had a really late season last year. How are things looking as far as timing goes for 2019?
that seemed pretty normal. It was not late. It was kind of right on schedule.
Are you expecting to see a big number of permits transferring to Togiak after July 27th?
That all depends on who wants to give them a market. They have to have somebody buy their fish if they're going to transfer. So pretty much they're going to call, ask for permission, make sure you can buy the fish or not.
Have you been hearing of any difficulties that people fishing in Togiak have been having, or has it really been a pretty good season all around?
It's been a good season. It's been warm, but it didn't seem to slow things down. Everything kept on rolling nicely.
Have there been any complications because of how hot it's been in the past few weeks?
More of a temperature issue. You lose a lot of ice a lot quicker than if it was, you know, a normal Togiak summer, but we didn't have any difficulties. We kept up with it, with ice production and keeping the fish good temps.
Has the fleet been about the same size as last year or as an average year?
Yeah, same amount of returnees. Myself and the other plant across the bay, they pretty much have their loyal fishermen, and they're the ones that return every year.
The harvest numbers have kind of stayed relatively steady. They kind of have fluctuated between like 18,000 and like 52,000. Is that the range that you're looking at for the rest of the season, or are you thinking that it might go up or taper off anytime soon?
My opinion, I think we probably have 2 weeks of this left to stay at the level we're at. It's a good level right now. There's a lot of fish out there. It'll trim down after about 2 weeks, and then silvers will start to show up. Our goal for the season is 2 million pounds. We go by pounds, like, you know, Fishing Game goes by count, but we go by pounds. So our goal is 2 million. That's where we're sitting. The other plant's a little bit bigger than, well, actually quite a bit bigger than us, but that's a good, comfortable number for us.
And how far are you guys towards reaching that goal?
We're more than halfway there.
So another few weeks of fishing, you think you'll be able to make it?
I think we'll reach our goal, yep.
Has anything stuck out about this year in particular, or has it just been really pretty standard?
It's a little different from last year, the way the run is. This year it's coming in surges, and then it'll be lighter for a day, and then another surge hits, whereas last year it was pretty steady straight on through for about three to four weeks. So, but these surges are very big, so we're staying up to where we need to be.
Right. What is the size of, like, a big push that you would see?
For us, over 100,000 a day for my fishermen.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk this afternoon.
All right, thank you.
Now, Togiak Seafoods hasn't announced its base price yet, but many processors have. That price is $135. For some context on the complex history of Bristol Bay's economy, Izzy talked to Kevin Berry, an assistant professor of economics at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He started by recounting a contentious lawsuit settled in 2003 between processors and fishermen.
There's been three strikes in the history of the bay, at least in the recent history of the bay. And I think maybe the most contentious one was in the early 90s. It eventually led to a lawsuit where fishermen basically accused the processors of colluding and fixing prices. And the lawsuit was settled in 2003. And basically, fishermen lost. They presented their case, and the jury decided that there wasn't significant evidence of price fixing because prices seemed to be driven by those larger market forces. And so for context, at the time, a big buyer of Bristol Bay salmon was Japan, and the Japanese market had crashed. And so that was one of the drivers of the falling prices then. There was also adverse environmental conditions in the 90s as well. And so, you know, it was sort of the same story back then. They were upset that prices were low, but simultaneously there were larger sort of macroeconomic forces that were driving prices down, and so there wasn't convincing evidence, at least for the jury at that point, that processors were fixing prices.
One question that we've gotten from listeners is how the system right now, where processors basically announce the same base price, match each other, and generally don't vary from it greatly, how that system isn't price fixing.
Sure. So this was actually one of the articles of contention in that lawsuit back in 2003. And you really have to think about where Bristol Bay salmon is processed and then sold. And so while Bristol Bay sockeye, for instance, or in particular, are roughly 50% of the world sockeye supply, which seems like a big chunk of the pie, relative to the entire salmon supply globally, they're actually a very small player. And so the price of salmon is driven in a large part by competing products like farmed Atlantic salmon, which are a much larger portion of the market. And so these processors are purchasing salmon from the fishermen to sell in this globalized market. And all of these processors face the exact same forces. Things like, what's the total quantity of Atlantic salmon being produced? Are there issues in salmon markets globally? Even though it's a very specific product, it still competes with these substitute products that are similar. Just like any market economy, everybody's kind of simultaneously competing against everybody else. And we would naturally expect this to drive to sort of one set of prices and one set of bonuses that are paid that's similar for everybody based on what the fishermen are willing to sell at, what the processors are able to find people and pay people, and then what prices the processors are able to sell their own products at.
For fishermen, I think there's this real sense that they don't have a lot of agency regarding pricing from year to year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so like I said, the options are relatively limited because, I mean, as a whole, Bristol Bay and Alaska don't have a ton of market power when it comes to world salmon prices and world salmon markets, because we're competing in a globalized market against not only other wild salmon caught in Alaska and not only other wild salmon caught or wild Pacific salmon, but also farmed salmon from Chile and Norway. And those producers are much larger than Alaska. And so a lot of the price of salmon is driven by sort of these large global trends, and then also trends on the demand side as well. So questions of what's going on in markets in China or markets in Japan, or also domestic markets and, you know, what's happening with consumer demand for salmon products. And so it's really hard to say that there's a clear way for fishermen or for processors to gain a lot of power over the price of either wholesale salmon products or ex-vessel prices.
Another question we got is why processors wait until the end of the summer to announce their price per pound and how they benefit from that.
Sure. So I don't know the exact way that this system came about, but we have to remember, too, that the processors don't know at the beginning of the season how many fish are going to be available or at what time those fish are going to arrive, and so they don't know necessarily what they're going to be able to process and turn those fish into, and so they don't know exactly what they're selling yet. And so processors are dealing with a lack of information as well. So somehow they came to this system where they wait until the end of the season to announce the base price, but a lot of it has to do with uncertainty. They just don't know at the start of the year how many fish they're going to be purchasing or what they're going to be turning them into and where they'll be able to sell those fish.
All right. Thanks so much for talking today.
Of course. And thanks for calling and asking. I'm always happy to help out.
That was KDLG's Izzy Ross with both of those interviews. Now, before we sign off for the evening, let's take a look at the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast. Tonight, a southwest wind of 20 knots becoming west at 10 knots after midnight, seas at 5 feet. Friday, west wind 10 knots, seas at 4 feet. And Friday night, a west wind of 15 knots with seas at 4 feet. There will be some rain on both sides of the bay and a chance of precip tomorrow and tomorrow night, especially on the east side. Alas and alack, we do not have any messages to the fleet tonight for the first time in a while. It is not too late to send them in, though. We're in the final stretch of this summer's fish report now, but we're still taking suggestions and requests. If there's anything we missed or anything you want to hear about, send it our way. You can email the show at fish@kdlg.org or call 842-5281. And that's the same place to go with song requests and messages to the fleet. And just a heads up, we're not going to have any shows this weekend. Friday's Daily Run Summary will be the last scheduled set of numbers we get for the time being, so we won't have a show for you on Saturday or Sunday. For our fishing song today, we'll play you out into this gray and drizzly night with a classic by CCR, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. I'm Alex Hager. Have a good night, good fishing, and I will catch you back here tomorrow.